This is Dietrich. We're back with the Friday edition of VNN's Free Talk Live. Let's see. It looks like we have Mr. Taperman joining us here. I got a message from Hi, Alex. Welcome to the show.
Hey. Dietrich. Craig. Hey.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. What's going on? I've been listening here.
Oh, wonderful. How are we sounding tonight?
Sounding good.
Okay.
Coming through fine.
Just got a message from go ahead.
I'm hearing a little reverb.
Oh, that's right. Let me turn that back off. I put it back. Okay, that should help a little bit.
Okay.
Yes?
Yeah, it's receded in the background.
Okay. Yeah, here too. Some nights it does it, some nights it doesn't. I wrote the settings down, you know.
What is it you're setting, the wave or something? Or?
I'm using, right now what I'm doing is... I have my main volume control. You know how you have your left and right balance?
Yeah.
I've got it all the way over onto one side or the other, and that seems to eliminate most of the echo. It's like an internal feedback between the upstream application and the Skype application, I'm guessing.
Oh, okay.
Cowboy Zeke sent me a... while we're in... Tennessee, we could all go over to Memphis and ride the Taperman. I just sent you a Skype IM message of a picture of the Taperman. I'll post it in the forum. But it's a carousel with a taper.
It's the most popular animal at the Memphis.
The future is now.
Let's see. My computer's slow tonight. Let me see.
It seems the Knoxville mainstream media still wants to totally ignore that we're coming to Knoxville. That's funny to me.
Well, we haven't really announced anything, right?
No, we haven't announced anything formally.
Let's pick up on it. Yeah.
Oh, my
they
God.
They can see the links on all their webs.
Oh, my God. I am so there.
Post it in the forum. I'm copying one to you, Jane.
It's a rampant taper. It's a taper go-round. It's multicultural. They have animals from the four corners of the world. At least the ones that are left after the rampaging Chinese and Africans are done eating them and using them for aphrodisiacs.
That's right.
Someday that's all that will be left.
Yeah, yeah. You want to save the environment. You better save the white man first. He's the only one that seems to be alarmed about these things, and to be intellectual enough to study them and understand.
He's the only one with enough extra brains, compassion, whatever it is, to expend on lesser species. The other ones are just struggling to stay alive and avoid the tsetse flies and the guinea worms. But yeah, that looks to be exactly what that is. It's like a multiculturalism brought to the animal world. They've got a merry-go-round. Instead of horses, they got tapir, they got a panda, they got some other stuff. That's all I can see, but that is one hell of a taper.
That is a fine taper, yeah. But
it's got a leopard print saddle on it, too.
Yeah, I wonder about that.
Don't see that every day.
Okay. You wonder.
Does this make me look fat? Got a hot date at the zoo tonight. It's a hell of a... You gotta love the taper, though.
I do. I love the taper. I have to admit. Who can lie?
Yeah, you made that one with the taper, Ed. That reminded me of Motel Hell. If there's anything more frightening than a crazed farmer who plants human beings to harvest them for meat,
right,
wearing a pig's head, man. If he was wearing a taper head. I smell sequel.
He can help work the shovel with his hands off now.
Can't you see that? Like, that'd make a great horror movie. A dude with like a taper's head on his head, and then he's like shaking it, and the taper's nose is like flipping around, like all wackily. And
we're going to have to do an animated taper movie where we have voices and everything. You know, make it a cartoon hero, a full feature, like... Remember they had the fish? They had the nigger talking fish. She's swimming around a year or two ago, and it was a big hit. Swimming around, hitting on the beautiful white girls.
What?
Down the ocean.
Wait a minute. Whoa. What's this? What is this?
I think I know what... What was that? Fish, or what was the name of that movie?
I don't know. I saw it on a train crossing the United States, and I thought, what the fuck?
I haven't seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he could be like a Superman character. He'd be like Taper Man.
Yeah, Taper Man educates little children about Jews and the horrors they pose. Just like that gift pills. The Nazis made children's books that educated about Jews.
Yeah, they sure did. There's a really fun graphic that I have up on my Image Shack. I'll post it to the thread. And I think you've seen it. You've probably seen it. It's in a classroom. It's like a classroom setting, and a teacher is pointing to several drawings on a chalkboard. And I think I don't speak German or read German, but I think it says the Jew's nose looks like a number 6.
Yeah. I think I've seen that book. I think that stuff's at calvin.edu, maybe some of it.
Yeah, it is.
Along with the speeches of Goebbels and Hitler.
Yeah,
you guys, to change the subject a little bit, I wanted to talk about, again, more about Shannon Christian, if I may, because that's such a hot topic on the forum, and it really motivates people. And it just happens that in my Skype window, a friend in Europe who's listening to us in Europe right now, he says that... And I can tell you, I guess, he's from that area, but he says that the sociology department at the University of Knoxville in Tennessee, where Shannon was a student, will show up there and start a bunch of carping about how, were Shannon alive, she would not appreciate our making her death into a...
why isn't she alive?
Yeah, she's not alive. Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, maybe if she were allowed another life, she'd have a different opinion of things now that she knows she would know better.
We should be prepared for those types of arguments.
Yeah.
They try those...
Well, the thing is, they're not going to allow us to speak back on that. I mean, the media will shout with a bullhorn and support and even correct the diction and the subject verb agreement of the niggers who have the who quote for the press, but then they'll do an interview with Alex Lender and make him sound stupid by messing up the subject verb agreement or whatever that kid did on that interview.
Yeah, you don't get any courtesy editing unless you're pushing the agenda.
Oh, courtesy editing barely even covers it. I mean, talk about it, it's almost like putting words in the mouth. It's like,
well, rewriting your Ebonics in English, translating Ebonics into English,
the Ebonics translator, yeah.
Just another one of their workaday dirty tricks they employ to mislead us as to reality.
Yeah, it's almost as much of a dirty trick, but not really, as basically not even reporting it. I mean, they're just saying, nope, we're not going to do it. Why? Because we're a controlled press, and that might get you wise to our agenda. I mean, it's almost that blatant. It really is.
Yeah, I was talking to someone earlier today. Never heard of it. Never heard of it at all. So,
no one knows about it. Here's something I don't know that you may be able to tell me. Alex, do you know who Rabbi Moshe Taperman is?
No, I've never heard of him, but
is
indeed a fortuitous moniker.
I could have swore it was. Well, somebody's
Moshe Taperman.
Somebody's been listening to Goyfire and posting on blogs
it's
about
an
the
old
chain.
Transylvania Jewish name.
Moshe Taperman.
Yeah,
it's Pennsylvania Kikish.
Yeah, Rabbi Moshe Taperman was had responded on Bonnie's blog of crime, which is one of the few places where they mention the Channing Christian murder. And
had you heard of that blog before? I dug up that and put it on that thread. I used bits from about probably 100 different sources on that because I stayed up all night reading all the blogs about it. And what you found was a lot of people, even in Knoxville, said they hadn't heard of it until recently. And you had a couple leftists bitching about it, but
really, I was kind of amazed at the dearth or how few leftists were saying, "Oh, anyone, kind of like what showed up on Kirksville today. Just, oh, anyone can have AIDS or anyone can do this crime."
Yeah,
there's
usual stupidity.
Very little of that. I mean, if any.
Well,
I'm
telling you,
so
you can
outrageous.
See bleeding through, like the working class conservative blog. I don't know who that is, but I think I said this maybe a couple days ago, maybe I'm repeating, but these blogs had lots of reader reaction. It didn't matter what the politics of the blog was, whether system or whether right-wing or whether conservative, to make kind of the three main camps,
people
system, Judeo-liberal. Well, they're talking about this. They know what's going on. Everybody knows that blacks do this kind of thing because they're savages, and they know that no one else can talk about it. And we got to keep just pushing it, pushing harder and harder. Why can't we speak freely in our own country?
Yeah.
When we're going around the world liberating everybody else, why can't we speak freely here? Well, we have an answer. That ain't no rhetorical question. We have an answer.
Yeah.
And that answer is the only reason it's worth rallying.
Yeah, that's the thing. People tend to be okay with, even if they will ask the question, they'll keep it at the level of rhetoric. And
we ain't having a rally to talk about nigger savagery.
Yeah.
At least I'm not. What I'm talking about is a thing that's never talked about. Even from these blogs, it's clear. It's the Jewish connection that must be made. The Jew that created this system that gets people like this murdered most heinously and then covers it up. That's what's worth rallying about.
Yeah. That's why I think we ought to do it. Go ahead.
Concomitant with that, they're educating young people to be self-loathing and to not understand logic,
yeah,
what's going on all around them.
And not perceive, not only that they don't perceive
reality,
that they have interests, they don't even perceive that they are any type of group that's worthy of asking the question, do I have interests? But once they do perceive that they are a community, all that stuff, it just cascades from there, I believe.
Let me tell you an anecdote about that. On my YouTube videos, I made these little videos about Chen and Christian and with the nigger hip-hop music, as you mentioned. But anyway, YouTube has incredible interactivity when you're a member. You can post videos back and forth, and you can make comments, although they do seem to censor them sometimes. Anyway, there are several videos which have been made about Shannon, and you can tell that they were made by people who either knew her or had access to photos of friends or family, because they have a plethora of photos of her, and Christopher, too, Newsom. Anyway, so they were commenting on my blog, and one of them was the author of one of these other films. And so she says, she had two comments she made. One of them was that I guess LaMarcus Davidson, who was the Black Disciple gang member, and that's a racist prison gang. They're violent. They're in all cities in the Midwest and the West, and I think in the East too, but certainly in the Midwest and the West. He's a member. He's an ex-con. He was the leader, I believe, of this whole attack upon these two. And so she says, oh, he couldn't be a racist. He has a white girlfriend.
I thought, what is she talking about? And this is a friend?
I mean, that's kind of logic. Yeah, this is one of them who made a video. And apparently, if I've connected the name right, I mean, the name's on the other video. Either she made it or posted it. And then her second comment was a different post. She said that she was mad at some of the people. It was so poorly written, and they refer to Daphne or something. I don't know if that's a nickname or that's the white girl. But apparently, these niggers ripped off a ring off Shannon's finger. I'm sure they didn't wait till she was dead, because why would they? I mean, you know, that's the booty right there, besides the sexual booty. But they ripped the ring off her finger and presented it to some other, I think a second white girlfriend, if I understand it. But she was highly incensed at this. So imagine, this woman, or young woman, had these two things going on in her mind at the same time. They're totally unrelated. In fact, you would think all the evidence would lead her to come to our position. But no.
Yeah, it seems like even if you weren't a quote-unquote racist, that you would just be so angry at these things that, mm-hmm, you know, if you were a personal friend of these victims, that
well, that's,
would be so
that's
incensed.
Another aspect of it. As Craig mentioned, another aspect of that is that at least one of these guys was basically a thug. I mean, was an ex-con. Maybe more of them were. Not all the details are really out yet.
No, that's another
what
thing.
Else are
I wish
they,
we could
Alex?
Get a copy of the police
report. Come on.
Report.
How about you and I go out and do this? What do you mean? One was a thug. They're all.
Well, I mean, an ex-con is what I meant.
Point
yeah, he's a more practiced thug and more experienced, but, yeah, I mean, you know.
College level.
Well, the point is they've done maybe not stuff that bad, but they've been released already, so they're,
yeah,
you know.
Well, they could have been high on crystal meth, too.
In between convictions.
Got some bravery from it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that is remarkable that, well, I mean, you can tell her tough titties. We're going to use her content anyway. We're going to use her photos for future videos. And we're going to, you know, if she's not racist, then she may want to keep watching, because maybe she will be if we get the word out enough. I mean, that
they have a video on
the site. How can this stuff not make
now
you outraged? It's... it's hard to really digest it all in one sitting, or it's impossible to digest it all in one sitting. Just the whole damn spectacle of the thing. Of the
balloons. Where's the yard-long style feature that gives you the glorious details of all this? You know, you have to pull it a little here, a little there.
Yeah.
As always,
that's
they separate it out, so it's hard to understand.
And where's the yard-long talking about their future plans and how she was telling her friend, I'm just making stuff up now, but this is the type of stuff you see on the...
they would humanize in loving, glorious, full-color detail.
Yes, loving.
The lives that were snuffed short.
Oh, they were... And she was just getting her books together and going back to community college or whatever, you know. Well, hey, she was talking about how he might be the one, you know. He was going to pop the question that night or, God, you know, whatever. They humanize it. That's exactly right.
There's a news story online now, and Chris Newsom's parents were there, and they look remarkably placid, considering. And they're sort of, they're sort of typical American, pudgy, and you would think they just got an award for, Chris hit 20 home runs for the season.
They probably have them all happy.
Anyway, they had a little plate there they gave them, and it says Chris is at home now. And then they stuck the plate on the snack bar at the local, I think, or something like that. I think we're going to do a little bit more than that.
Chris is at home now. Where's his penis? Has his penis made it yet? It's insane. I can't believe that.
It's quite a barbarous thing, and they won't address those aspects of it.
It is true, and that's the thing. We don't know all that. I'm sure this thing is so low on details. Can you imagine how much stuff we don't know yet? You know we don't know the best, not the best parts, but the worst parts of this. We don't know it yet. You know that.
Well, it must annoy them terribly that they can't control us, and because this happened in Kingston, and this thing in Columbia was just a big circus a week or two ago, 10 days ago, whenever it was. You're from Missouri, Alex. To talk about that, if you will. My God.
Well, which thing exactly?
When NSM went down there to Columbia and the reaction they had, I was just flabbergasted at it. I thought,
that's a big university town. That's Mizzou, University of Missouri. There's I don't know how many there are, but it's tens of thousands of students. A lot of them are obnoxious and just there to party, and they went out for fun, but there really wasn't that much that went on. It just, I guess they had about a dozen NSM, and they marched, and some people were yelling, but I don't think there were too many arrests, really.
No, there weren't that. There were seven, but I mean the reaction of the, they had hot dogs and hip hop dancing, and the MC of the hip hop dancing. I looked her up, and she's a practical nurse who had been prosecuted for ripping off $3,000 from the government for getting welfare checks. That's the MC who was.
Yeah,
the MC.
See, here's the thing.
That's why we love Chain.
Well, it's funny.
Yeah.
No, I mean, one thing about Columbia is that's one of the most famous journalism schools in the country.
Yeah, I know.
Along with the other Columbia out in New York.
Yeah.
So
both are overrated.
And I know at least I saw one comment from some woman who's majoring in journalism there about, and it was completely semantically correct. So that's why nobody's buying any more newspapers, that on the internet. They don't have to listen to semantically correct female bureaucrats called journalists.
You know, Alex, you made a remark on Goifar a while back, and you've mentioned certain things like this a couple times, and so it's not going to be anything new, but I am just over the journalist in the Truman State College rag that was talking about that you can see on my blog, theseus.wordpress.com.
Yeah, the one I haven't responded, but I'm going to respond to that on Kirksville today, and I'll link it at VNN.
Okay, well, we'll be looking
Not that he said that much or it mattered.
No, he was just talking about that Columbia rally that Chain had mentioned just a second ago, and he kind of brought you up for some reason and said that, you know, you should basically, that we should ignore these things and that, but you really did get the impression that he was very self-satisfied knowing that he was following the script. You know?
Yeah.
That he had figured out what his masters wanted him to say, and that he was really happy with himself and that he was really good at saying it.
You may be right, or that may be. I've struggled for years to understand that mentality. It's like it's partly that they're complacent. They very definitely feel superior to pretty much the community. So you, what you got is a bunch of suburban St. Louis kids who come up here and it's lower middle class, and they look down on them as Kirkatoids or townies, and that's generally how it is, the relation between town and gown, as they call it.
And under normal circumstances, they wouldn't be at college anyway. They'd be farmers or they'd be
school
clerks.
Well, no, this is a fairly elite one for the Midwest. It's like their big gem middle liberal arts school, so they pull people. They pull the smarter people, and most of them are white, but a lot of them are non-white.
Mm.
To this public liberal arts thing, so it's so they think that they're very high end. They're maybe high end for some of the Midwest, but nationally they're not really. They don't need to be putting on any airs. They're not that high end.
Right, right.
But anyway, that's kind of their attitude. And yeah, there's this complacency and this inertia and this satisfaction with life is dictated and nobody questions it. It's the whole Midwestern thing, and it's political correctness, medical correctness, and it's following the script and being pleased. And it's just, I read that paper for 7-8 years now. I don't recall one article out of it. I recall one line out of that paper in that time, and it turns out that line was stolen from a movie script.
God.
As I later discovered, it was a line that made me laugh out loud, and later I found out it was in some movie like Slacker or something. Family circle.
Yay.
It's always there at the bottom of the page, waiting to suck. And I remember reading that and just...
Yeah, that was that Winona Ryder movie.
Exactly. And then years later, I saw that movie that it was in. I was like, ow. It kind of pissed me off.
You
I was
felt
like,
used.
I felt like I've been reading this paper for years and nothing ever. It's just they produce this beautiful paper and the words don't matter. There's nothing in it. And they write about. I will write them good, solid, substantive letters with money quotes in them, and they won't print them. They won't even print them online where space is unlimited.
Well, the kid calls
so
you a good
their
writer.
Attitude.
He says there's no doubt he's a good writer. So at least
I'm a lot
that.
Better than him or the rest of his clown buddies.
Well,
if nothing else, because to me it's a blood sport. To them, it's like you write your little column and you go jog and then you go out with your friends and have some coffee,
have some beers.
You don't really write about anything substantial. You sort of edge within a couple hundred yards and you say something semantically correct and you use the right labels and frames and then you go on. It's fucking not real.
But they think they're
these kids bored. They're 20 for Christ's sake.
Yeah, they've got
they
to
have
think
any
some
desire
kind
to take
of the power
a vital
structure
life
or something. I don't know. Yeah, no, they don't.
It's so fucking tiresome. I'll never forget that. I think I probably said this, told this anecdote before.
How in the hell did they take the rebelliousness out of 20-year-olds? I have no idea, but it's a magic trick.
This dude, one time I met with my old girlfriend and her girlfriend's boyfriend, and the guy had the looks of a movie actor. And if I had the looks that he had, I would have been like, man, I'm gonna see if I can become an actor or whatever. The guy wanted to be a fucking like economist with the ag department. The guy's like, 18, 19, 20. I'm like, what the fuck? Where's the ambition?
Corn and hog prices.
Where's the fucking ambition? Where's the desire to be a part of something and make things a little different than without you? You know, these people grew up in the suburbs. They've had enough to eat, and they've never had any particular stress, I guess. Is all you want a little more of that? I can understand my dad's generation coming out of here and wearing, feed cloth sacks for shirts where achieving material prosperity would really be an achievement. But I grew up upper middle class. I've always had enough to eat. Money has never been, like, a great issue or interest to me. I wanted to actually do something. And you just don't feel that coming off these people. Nothing is real. And you can see how they turn into these journalists where you can't appeal to their professional pride. There's just nothing
you can poke
at them to get a fucking response out of
that's
them.
That's not just the Midwest. That's one of the symptoms all across the country.
Oh, hell no. Fred Reed's a good example of what I just put on the front page.
Yeah.
You can't get anything real out of them.
Yeah.
They're completely sheeperized, or I don't know what you call it. It's very frustrating, though.
It really is. It's like they figured out how to, or the correct platitudes. It's comfortable. See, I don't know. I can kind of see this a little bit because I was I came from the conservative end of things, and I fell out when the neoconservatives, when it was clear that they were running things, and I had some sort of cognitive dissonance with the things that the new cons were saying to me. And but for a while there, I was sort of kind of going along just by rote. I wasn't extremely politically inclined. I was in IT. I was just going in a different direction. I wasn't very, very political. Of course, the stakes weren't that high at that point. The world was simpler back then.
You don't see a lot of anger and ambition, or maybe I've been in the Midwest too long,
it's just
or something.
Easy. It's as a conservative, I was so used to losing. I was so used to kind of like we are as racialists being pounded on by all the official vectors of media and society. It seems, even though it's not exactly true, it is with the media. But it was just so nice to feel like you were pedaling downhill when you were following the neocon quote conservative line. That the media is actually batting for us every now and then, and the liberals are getting now we can call them anti-Semites now, and because they don't want to support Israel, and the whole media will help us pound on them. It's just so nice for once to have the wind at your back. And
that's
maybe that's the way they feel a little bit. And I knew even at the time it was almost like a guilty pleasure. And it's kind of how I fell out of it, just because it wasn't, it didn't stand up to the test of logic.
That probably makes sense where you are here. I think it's a lot of that, and it's also just, I think there are people who are semantically incorrect, but look, they've got it locked down, the paper and the classroom, and basically they just keep their mouth shut and they go into something and try to make money and escape from it, and that's pretty obviously all you can do, except for the one or two weird people who might be writers or something, and I haven't seen any of them here at TSU. I mean, the right-wing ones are complete neocons, the left-wing ones are, which is most of them, are pushing the ideology. The paper's official ideology is just the standard leftist egalitarian crap. And, you talk to these little kids, like the one kid who used to edit KDE before he moved on, and the one girl who's, I think, still edits at Whitney McFerrin or something, she was physically afraid to get within arm's length of me, as though I was some kind of monster going to attack her, or some kind of taint was going to escape through the air. But the one girl, the only one who treated me, who could seem to realize that I actually was a human being, was the one who used to run their TV, and I did an interview with her, and she was at least sensible enough to see that I was an ordinary person.
If you had AIDS with weeping sores, that girl would probably be
Exactly. They'd be fucking embracing you and kissing you on both cheeks. It's like, are you little suckers so brainwashed you can't see reality for what it is? Do I really look that abnormal? It's like that kid over at the high school when I was passing out the paper. He said something like, "You look like a normal guy." I don't understand it. Where's the third arm?
Yeah, right.
Where's the four eyes?
You should be like, "No, friend, I am not normal."
It's just, can't you people realize you're being lied to up, down, left, and right? Christ.
That's kind of a metaphor for the whole country. They're bug chasers for mental illness.
The bug chasers for mental illness. Damn. But yeah, it's like that kid when you guys, Chain, when you and Stan made that video up in New York State with the kid saying, VNN, isn't it Vanguard, though? Vanguard News Network? Where's the G? And you're like, "No, it's Vanguard News Network." And he's like, "Yeah, but it's VNN," and he's got this incredulous look on his face, like, "What's this asshole curious trying to pass off on me?" Just kind of like with the same self-righteous
and they ride around on little bikes with 12-inch wheels or something.
Yeah, with the same self-righteous shit-eating fervor that they used when they burned witches or whatever. When they were holding them under the water with poles and drowning them, going, "This is for their own good." Just this self-righteous.
Abroad, there's absolutely no doubt.
And you know what? The thing about and we're crazier. That's what's so funny. People think we're all progressive and we're better than them. Well, witchcraft is not an unplausible or an implausible explanation. You have witches doing something at night privately and you're seeing the results. But here, you see these niggers do stuff right in front of us and they're exculpating and excusing and extenuating their actions. That's what's so fucking insane. And that led me, I was thinking the other day and I was like, you know what, most people, even the white people, we always go off on Goyfar on the crazy niggers and immuring, eyes of babies to increase business, but people really don't believe in cause and effect. They believe in magic.
Yeah.
And they believe in Jibuism, and things just happen, and if you placate the gods or appease them, maybe they'll help you out. People still have that same mentality.
Yeah, that's the real triumph.
Faith is meant to back up the logic and the reason and the observing things, thinking about them, testing them, and coming to establishing connections.
Yeah. Well, no, that's been wholly defeated.
That process does work. You don't need faith. You need faith to back your own weakness and not accepting that it really does work that way. Things do happen for a reason, not for any general reason, but for a reason.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just like it's just what the Jews have done culturally. They were revolutionaries when they needed to overturn the system, and now they're conservatives because their revolution worked. They're in charge, and they need to lock things back down.
They're all Ameriquans. That's why I call the phrase Ameriquois, because they want to say, oh, you don't like our Philo-Semitic foreign policy. You're anti-American. And then they laugh because they know it's such a great irony, and then they know that the idiots will never catch on.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly explains the Horowitz and these punks.
I was watching this week on the forum. Somebody posted. Actually, I guess I found that one, but it was the video, and it's been posted before in the forum, I'm sure. It was this woman in Texas, and she had been in a Burger King or some restaurant in Texas when this guy drove through in a pickup and started sniping people. I think he even ended up killing 8 or 12 people. It was a major thing. And so she was testifying. I guess it was a joint House and Senate, because Barney Frank, the dick sucker, was there, the Jewish dick sucker, Barney Frank, and Chuckie Schumer. So here this woman is relating
37.
How she saw first her father and then her mother. Her mother was executed in the head by this guy. Her father, I think, took a chest shot.
Jesus.
And so she was testifying for gun ownership and so forth. Anyway, Schumer's there with his hand in his face for almost all of it. And then he finally has the good sense to make another histrionic pose. Just like, oh, God, you know, I have to listen to this. And Barney Frank's just looking at her all, you know, puffy and just leaning back, sort of cocky. And that's that, you know.
Yeah.
And then a very poignant tale she's telling about how her parents were slain in one day in a matter of moments in front of her eyes. And these fucking Jews just act like, yeah, so what? Who cares?
Kike faggots don't give a fuck about ordinary white lives. You better believe they've got all kinds of arms at their disposal and henchmen.
Yeah, Steven Spielberg's. Charlton Heston, who was the head of the NRA before he got sick, he said that Steven Spielberg had probably the best gun collection in the United States of America.
And he's got armed security, too, just like Dianne Feinstein, the gun grabber. Doesn't know jack about guns. She gave this one press conference a number of years back, I recall, when I was a member of the NRA, where she was holding an AK-47 with her finger on the trigger, sweeping the crowd of journalists, and they were too stupid to duck. You're never supposed to point a gun at anyone you don't intend to kill, no matter whether you
if
think
any
it's
listeners,
loaded or not.
Go to Solar General, and you can read the book called White Power by George Lincoln Rockwell. And I feel quite sure that both Ben Clausen and Dr. Pierce borrowed heavily from that book, a lot of the concepts and the style. But anyway, George Lincoln Rockwell tells in White Power that the Black Panthers, it was in 65 or 6, something like that, they walked into the California legislature carrying automatic weapons.
Oh, yeah,
automatic
that's true.
Rifles.
That's true.
Not semi-automatic, automatics, and weren't even arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, see, it's a free-for-all. It's a free-for-all. There is no rule of law, which is why I get so upset at my conservatory friends who said, but that's not in the Constitution. The Constitution says, and I'm like, you know what? They're only going to enforce, or they're only going to listen to that which you're willing to blow somebody up over. You know, you're not going to.
Yeah, they're paper fetishists. They don't understand that.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they're Aryans. They say, look, here's the law. Here's here's what we've all agreed on. So that's fair, right? Right.
I remember
that stuff. They're swindlers. They're not going to follow any type of rules. They're going to take advantage of it. Look,
whites
that's what the Talmud's all about.
There.
It's about a rule and then commentary about how to get around it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, laws are things made to be broken. God, what a hook-nosed saying that is.
I remember some old woman in Claremont, and they were having some leftist demonstration. She was assuring me the Soviet Union had freedom of speech because it was written in their constitution.
Right.
I'm like, what does that mean?
Well, it's true. Soviet Union had freedom of speech. You could criticize everyone but the people in charge. Just like here. We have freedom of speech in America. You just can't criticize the people in charge. They have freedom of speech in Europe. You just can't talk about the Holocaust. You can't criticize the people in charge. The people in charge are Jews.
We can still do that, but they can target us quite effectively if they decide to do that. You know, they did it with a number of people.
Well, I mean, it's the difference between de facto and, is it real or is it on paper or is it whatever? I mean, will they, you know, it's legal to say certain things, but will they shut your internet site down? Will they deport people and illegally? Will they bend laws?
They'll keep an FBI file on you, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's the point of having a bazillion laws and is that you can selectively enforce. And, you know, that's why there's a billion law now. You know, now that we have all these regulations, say just for instance for motor vehicles, you know, a cop can find a reason to pull you over in a mere second if he wants to, if he really wants to. You know, you can. You know, there's so many little stickers and regulations and
yeah. The moral character of the people and the biological basis has to be there.
That's
to
what get. Matters. It's the morality. It's the. Or I hate to use that term, but it's what people call morality. It's
well,
what's
yeah.
Side. It's what, who people
and
are.
Where have you found anywhere where government was conspicuously uncorrupt? Very few places and times.
Only when governments are really just afraid of the population, or when
that's the thing about gun control. You know, why do they not want you to own guns? It's because they know what they're doing, and they know what deserves to happen to them. The government, if they don't fear the people, it's the same thing as free speech, exactly. If you're not afraid of what the people are going to do and say, then why do you need to fear what they say and that they have the means to protect themselves if you have no designs on them?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what creeps me out about all this 9/11 stuff. People say, "Well, hey, if the government's doing all the terrorism, then why are they taking all these steps to curb our freedoms and whatnot?" It's because they know what they're doing. They know what they deserve. They know what's coming. So they're trying to lock it down.
Well, what's coming is all these gangs and everything in the chaos. That's why the spics and the gang members and the niggers. We were talking about that a while ago. How they're allowed to do all these things, and that's the anarchy part, and we get the tyranny part, the white people.
Well, it's about time for some white gangs. That's about all there is to it. It's about time for whites to get off the basketball court and the lacrosse
field. I'm
pleased
when I see them make some mayhem. I like it, especially in California.
Well, you know, what happened? That's what I tell these guys that are like about 10, 12 years younger than I, coming into college, their freshman year of college, and I talk to them about stuff, and they really like a lot of the stuff I say. I don't know if it's just the fact that I have a good rap, or is that they really seem to seek me out and enjoy talking to me. But you know, I kind of rib them. I say, how in the hell did they breed rebelliousness out of you guys? You know, why are you guys such good rule followers? Well,
yeah,
in the '60s and stuff, it's like rebel.
Yeah, I see that here.
Yeah. Well, that's like the kid we were just talking about. It's like, hey, follow all the rules. Following the rules is cool. Man, when I was a kid, following the rules was for squares, man. I mean...
Well, at least they could question the rule and why you can't say certain things. And why is every column you write a column about nothing? You know, just like the Seinfeld show.
It's like,
I can write that dude a letter and say that, and will they post it? No, they won't. So I'll have to write it on Kirksville today.
It's so predictable. If we show up in Knoxville, they'll stick mics in front of matrons and men, too. They'll find all the men. Will they find any people who like what we're doing? I doubt it.
Well, they will, but they won't report
them. Plenty of people who will like it.
They will, and they won't report them. I've watched media people take. I've been privy to. I think I was waiting on a plane a number of years ago, and I was watching a media person interview people passing by, and I happened to catch the news that night. It was in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I can't remember exactly how they went, but they reported the one person who said something, who said they interviewed like 15, 20 people, and it was only like two or three people who had this other opinion, but they only played one response or two responses from the people who had this minority opinion.
Roger,
I've seen that happen
this
right
week.
Well, fuck yeah. I've seen that, too. I've seen where they have a... You know, they're proposing some new... This is why I say the newspapers are simply an arm of the government. It's another reason why a lot of them are going out of business and losing subscribers. Government will put up some bullshit new tax, and they'll go out and do man-in-the-street interviews, and they'll find three people who all support the tax. When you know goddamn well if they interviewed 100 people, 98 would have been against it.
Yeah.
And everything is like that,
which
to a greater
weird,
or lesser degree.
Which is why I don't understand why these young kids are so keen on going along with these horn-rimmed, you know, nerdy professors who tell them that diversity is great and stuff. I mean, isn't... You know, if objective reality isn't strong enough, what about a little bit of teenage rebellion, for God's sakes? I mean, I don't know, it seems like between objective reality and the natural hormonal impulses of teenagers to be rebellious against adults, it seems like something would, you know, you can hit the tuning fork there and get something
they
to resonate.
They bifurcate that by listening to Zulu music. They think that's the rebellious part.
Yeah.
Listen, Rondo's
yeah, that's basically it. That's basically right.
It's true. It's a good point.
You can actually hear that. The street I walk down every day when I walk over to where, what I got to do, I mean, you hear thumping cars, and it's usually white. Most of the time it's someone white, some white college kid. So that's what's
really
been channeled.
That's really dismaying. Because I've been to Kirksville. I know what it is. I mean, that's just really dismaying.
Well, I mean, it's probably about nowhere worse to hear than other places, but...
Well, yeah,
you
but
can
it's
just
reached
tell.
There, just as the Spic invasion has reached all over the Midwest now. Rounder said, well, I want to tell you guys that Rounder says, and the listeners, that he's taken to, at 65 or 66, whatever he is now, when he walks in someplace and he introduces himself, he'll say, hello, I'm Glenn Miller, I'm a white supremacist. I guess you could modify and say you're a white separatist if that's what you are. I started thinking that's really... What are they going to say after that? You know?
Yeah, they got nothing, right?
Yeah, no, it, just like I.
It draws the poison.
I'm running for city council or something, you know.
White supremacist.
I'd like your vote.
Or I'm a Jehovah's Witness. Whatever.
Well, at least they can't really go anywhere after that. It's like, hey, wait a minute, you're a. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but,
let's
I mean,
not wait till we're around his age.
Stuff,
I'm a little
though.
Younger, but we must do this. I think I like it.
Yeah. You wonder about that stuff, though. We are to the point now to where they can say, oh, you're this and you're that. And you're like, okay, yeah. But does that make your point any more right? No. You know, does it make our living space pleasanter?
No. They have the numbers. They have the homogenization.
No.
They have the power. The power of a seeming agreement with powers over them that tell them this is good to say this. This is okay, and you will not be harmed if you go along with this. You will not be damaged.
Yeah.
Let's see. Hey, I'm looking in the news, so there's been one more story since I was reading it all night about probably last week or 4 or 5 days ago. The gruesome double murder shocked the Halls community in North Knox County. Now, that's where Newsom was from. So they put up some plaque to him in the high school, I guess. For him, he was a baseball player.
Mm.
Let's see. In memory of Chris Newsom, 1983 to 2007, safe at home, number 14. Is that what you were reading, Craig?
Yeah, there's a video story of it there too.
That's
maybe
the latest
on the same website.
On the Google News.
Safe at home. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
Isn't that a kind of a mixed metaphor of home and the home base? I mean, do we really need that?
That's just stupid Jibuism.
It really is. That's the worst thing in the world. It's part of the numbing agent. It's just part of the numbing agent that's being used against us to.
I really
to
don't
keep us
care
from
if
reacting.
It's their own family and their own parents. To me, it's. It's as if his family, and these people's families will actually disown them after they're dead and cannot argue back to say, look, this is not what I want. Forget that stuff that I learned in the sociology department, okay? I want to live.
Yeah, hey, Mr. Newsom, I don't think anyone would, I think anyone would have a hard time in blaming you if you just kind of went off and talked about how these monkeys destroyed your baby. I mean,
they seem to very seldom do that, though, right, Dietrich?
I don't know if I've ever seen a parent of a murdered white dude that since CNN has been around.
That's a good question.
The most they'll go is call them animals. They will never make it anything overtly racial.
Yeah, they use the term animals. I see that. Or sad.
Yeah, I swear there's something that I think is both English cultural and American religious bias against ever generalizing from experience. And it's part of it somehow fits in with manners and not questioning motives, and somewhere in the overlap of those three circles.
It's like an enforced, self-enforced stupidity.
It's like, yeah, it's like we will not ever put what happens to us into any kind of categorical, this is what it means, and this is how we should act based on this result. You know, and since it's not anecdotal, it happens, you know, 500 times.
It's like, hey,
bizarre.
Blacks don't attack people. It's like, hey, most sharks don't attack people. But you should see these surfers scramble when you see a fin. They don't wait around to see if it's a dolphin either. They all ask. We all do.
Friendly?
Yeah.
Hey, have you seen any sharks when you're out? You're a big surfer. Have you seen any out there?
All the time, man.
Oh, God. Oh. You got some balls.
Here.
I would not personally do that.
No, I would not do that. There are different types of sharks, and there are different types of sharks.
The time not to surf is dusk and dawn.
Yeah, that's feeding
time. Oh, man, I would hate that.
Those are the feeding times. That's the riskiest.
Yeah. I surf through it at dusk and dawn, but it's real bad here in Florida, too. Down here where I am near Sebastian Inlet, it's real bad. I mean, fishermen right near us are chumming the waters and catching sharks. I mean, it's a real food chain out there, but
good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
we need a new Friday night host. We're up a little short. You remember that girl who lost her arm? Well, he did too, except it wasn't just his arm. His arm was what was left.
Right. I know, it's like, who's that poster on the forum?
We'll give you a VNN arm plaque if you get eaten by a shark. God called him home.
God made
him an hors d'oeuvre for a great white shark.
Yeah, whatever you do, don't say anything bad about the sharks.
Our kids are just eating.
Just call them animals. Just say I'm
home. Oh, shit. Jibu and John's called him home.
Dietrich's
in a far better place
Dietrich
now.
Dietrich paddled out for the last time.
The shark.
Just don't say anything bad about the sharks. Or the manta rays.
With a nigger cartoon shark down there coming on to him probably on the download.
Right. Yeah,
you ever have a Lovejoy voice. Yeah. And as the whale consumed Jonah. The great
Omar
white shark.
Grab hold of my hand.
Oh, man.
No, yeah, you see sharks out all the time. I mean, like three or four times a year you'll see them. My brother-in-law, or who was my future brother-in-law, we were getting, they'll kitty cat you. They'll rub up against you real hard and almost like knock, like if you're sitting up on your board, they'll rub up against you real hard, and their skin looks real, their skin looks real slick, but it's not. It's hard. It's like a cat's tongue.
Yeah, I've heard it's like sandpaper.
Yeah.
I've read that a number of times.
Yeah, and they'll rub up against you real hard to kind of feel you out because they can't see worth a damn. My brother-in-law reached down and punched the hell out of the thing, and he's like my size. He's like 6'3".
That's what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Punch him in the snout of your attack.
Well, he didn't get he punched him right near the dorsal, and the damn thing went away. But
that's cool.
I've been surfing with friends who and Billy, and he thrashed and paddled in as hard as he could. We were like, "Where's Billy going?" He ran up under the dunes and started screaming, "Shark!" We're like, "Thanks,
wrong
man."
Question: why
asshole.
Are you still in the water?
Well, he didn't say anything until he got up on the shore. But I'll tell you what: as sure as day follows night.
What do you think, he had to go to the bathroom or something?
Yeah, probably. As sure as day follows night, it can be 8 to 10 all morning. And as soon as you see a shark fin, it'll be as flat as it can be. There will be no waves, no way to get in, and you're paddling with your fingernails trying to get back in.
Let me alone. I am not a Ritz cracker.
Yeah, your best way to do is just don't splash around. They don't like people, so just don't splash around too much, and don't splash around like an injured fish or anything like that, and try not to. Yeah, that.
Try not to bleed too heavily.
Yeah, no, bleeding's a no-no. But and then early morning and at dusk is a no-no too. But and I get caught out there sometimes like that. So what do you do? It's not too. I don't know. I've as many as people.
Yeah, it's not too bad until it happens.
It's obviously not. As many people as I've known. I mean, I've had two people that's had shark attacks, and one sat up on the beach and finished his beer and then went and had it sewed up, had like 3 or 4 stitches, no big deal. And the other one, and he wasn't even surfing, he was just waiting. That's really, waiting's more dangerous. dangerous than surfing because you're in the 3 to 4 foot range where the really aggressive sharks hang out. The little sand sharks, little 3 or 4 foot long sand sharks hang out in like wading type water, like waist high water, and you can step on them or something like that, and they'll grab hold of your foot. And that's what happened to Dave. He took a hunk out of his foot, and he had a few stitches, no big deal. And then there was a friend of mine, Laura, she had a chunk of her thigh taken out when we were in high school. But, I mean, as many people as I've known, as much surfing as we've done, 2 people that I know personally bitten, that's not too big a deal.
I suppose the land sharks are more dangerous, although you're in a white area. So
yeah, the land sharks are more dangerous, and also they're not necessary. We can just simply make the choice. It's a decision that we can make. I mean, people make that decision all the time. I mean, they go to the real fancy, nice beaches up in New York. They have nets where they sequester off areas of the beach, and they have shark-free places. You know, the tourist places in Jamaica and in the Caribbean, they... Not only do they sequester off the tourist areas from the land sharks, they sequester off the ocean areas from the ocean sharks. Not good enough. I had a honeymoon down there in Jamaica, and the hotel staff, everyone was like, "You want some weed? Want some weed? Want some weed?" You know?
That's funny.
Or like, it's open bar. No thanks. We got it.
Yeah, that's what someone just told me from here who was down in... Jamaica.
Yeah, we were over in Negril.
They got offered weed all the damn time.
Every 5 feet, we took five. I mean, it's almost like we went to the hotel staff and be like, "Could you figure out a way to keep these civilians like off the, you know, that aren't supposed to be on the private beach to keep trying to sell drugs from us?" They're like, "Yeah, sure. Do you want some weed?" I mean,
Jamaica's a dangerous place. I just as soon go to Ghana for a holiday as Jamaica.
I would just soon go on a Ghana worm hunting trip as to go back to Jamaica, to be honest with you. It was the food was so beautiful, you just wanted to take a picture of it, but it was wholly inedible. But that's a whole different story. It was beautiful,
what kind of food
but it was all
it?
Cold. It was just like...
Was tropical fruits cut up nicely?
No, it was like institution food. It was freeze-dried probably and flown in from the States, no doubt. But it was beautiful in its presentation, and everything was shaped right. It was kind of like the Nigcopter from Nigeria. It was like it was in the right shape, or like the UFO, the flying saucer. Like it was in the shape of something that might conceivably work, but the actual contents of it didn't matter.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's the.
It's really a trick to make it like that. It's kind of like plastic food in the window of the Japanese shops or something. You know.
You know what's always missed in conversations about the Nigcopter that I'm always frustrated about is that in the story of the Nigcopter, there were guys with motorcycle helmets holding it down so it wouldn't fly away, like it was gonna fly anywhere. You know what I mean? Did y'all see the picture from the BBC story? It's like, man, they had to have people holding it down. It's like, that thing wasn't going to fly. Shut up. Stop lying.
True.
They had to hold it down. And they're like, oh, this is very... Was it Ghana? They were like, oh, this is a national... This is something to be proud of. Or maybe our...
The white man's been holding down the whole continent of Africa. It's got to stop. It's not bad.
Yeah.
What was that about the blacks in on KirksvilleToday.com, the blacks complaining about the in Canada? It was like the blacks complaining about being held down in Canada, and it's like, what could explain this? And I replied, the legacy of slavery in Canada, perhaps?
Yeah.
Yeah. They say slavery.
They complain whenever I cite stats with their typical black... Illogic.
Now, see, I noticed that. You were talking about AIDS, and the person said, oh, by the way, I hope you get AIDS. They started out saying, first of all, I hope you get AIDS from a big black man, and then you know you can get AIDS from a white person, too. And that kind of goes back to what you were saying about they don't understand basic probability.
Well, yeah, it's illogic. That's also a straw man. I didn't say you couldn't get AIDS from a white. I said... There's a disproportion in it, but that simple concept is beyond many people, probably almost all blacks and most whites,
it's like,
or many whites.
You can be killed by a chihuahua as well. You can be killed by a house cat if it tries
That's
hard
a good
enough.
Example, actually.
But you probably would pet one and run away from a puma, you know?
Yeah.
Chihuahuas actually bite more than big dogs, but big dogs do damage when they bite. Mm-hmm. I've had to learn all these things. I have a Rottweiler, so I've had to...
I've never even troubled myself to think of a good analogy because it's so... I mean, goddamn, if you can't understand that point. And they sure argue like they don't understand that point. I don't think they're faking it.
If people allow them to understand those points, they have to carry that point of view around with them.
I think
it makes it too uncomfortable for them socially.
It's just uncomfortable for them to agree with you.
Yeah.
I really do. I think they'd be paralyzed
and ostracized.
Otherwise, they're hopeless.
They do. They just, or at least I'm going from my own experience, and I did understand this stuff, but it's when you have the whole world, it seems like, at your back, and you can disagree with this person that's tearing down your whole comfortable as
they're being argumentative, essentially.
Well, see,
they're arguing rather than stick to the facts.
You're blowing the curve. There's you're pointing out that they're corrupt and stupid by noticing that, and I like to use the term blowing the curve. It's like it's like when you watch a puppet show and you have the suspension of disbelief and you, if for a moment, forget that there's someone with their hand up this puppet's ass under the stage moving it and making the little gestures and whatnot. When you say, mm-hmm. and you're remarking that, hey, that's a puppet, you know, you're ruining their beautiful mind. You know, you're ruining their suspension of disbelief. And you're
pointing out that someday in the future, because they are always like, well, whites, they're the worst indoctrinated. The college kids are the worst indoctrinated of all. It's always whites are evil, especially the women. Whites are evil serial killers. Really, girls, not women. Whites are serial killers. Whites are child molesters. I know lots of cool blacks, blah, blah, blah.
Right. But the way you know they know better is the fact that, you know, kind of like Rockwell said, you know, you tell her to go walk from one end to D.C. to the other. They won't do that. You know, it's the behavior that gives them away. Their behavior gives them away. Mm-hmm. Their, white flight is their behavior. And it really does give them a weight. They just don't like you talking about it. Now, the men have to talk about these things because generally, traditionally, we're the ones that say, honey, we need to pick up and move, or, you know, we need to move here or there, or this is what we need to do. Men generally are saddled with that type of thinking or responsibility. And, you know, it's time for men to just stand up and say, God damn it, objective reality exists, and we have to... We have to pay attention to it, and you have to be unafraid of mentioning it. I mean,
one good thing, let them
castrate you. Go ahead.
One good thing on the blogs, I'm reviewing the blogs here as you're talking on Shannon Christian, and clearly the idea that this is being covered up by the national media is spreading pretty much everywhere.
Good.
Which is very good.
I haven't looked around the blogs. I'm so glad to hear that.
I saw that as well, Alex, on every one of the comment section. That's another cool thing about the blogs is not only do they re-edit the media or completely just sidestep the media, as with this Channing Christian Newsom case, you get feedback, you get comments where the blogmaster actually reads what the audience is. You know,
it tends to push it reality word. It exerts a reality word pressure, as the economists would say.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so interesting, as I said, to compare. Do a search for a term on Google News. Make the term Shannon Christian. Then do a search Google News Shannon Christian. Shannon Christian Google search on the blogs, which is under the more. And you see the old media and the new media. Because even though Google itself would be new media, it's tracking the old media primarily through its news. Since after all, it threw off National Vanguard in declaring that wasn't news. So to get the real alternative meaning of the political news of the internet, you go to the blogs. You search them, and you see a very different thing. You see. Oh, some amateur writers versus paid system bureaucrats, and you see the one won't tolerate any comments, and will try to link only to its own sources, and the other one will link to anyone that has a good thing, and it allows comments, and the comments are increasingly white nationalist.
What is the blog search vehicle you're using then?
The same term for both of them, Shannon Christian. That's how you see. It's a control.
In other words, you just look at the blogs that come up. You're saying that's all.
What I'm saying is,
yeah,
go
you can
to
click
Google,
more.
Go.
Yeah, go ahead.
You got a thread for this show on the VNN forum, right?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to post links to the.
I'll post this. You search under Shannon Christian, C H A N N O N. It's like Shannon with a C H for whatever reason. I suspect it's pronounced Shannon, but I don't know for a fact. I've never heard of anyone called Shannon. So Shannon Christian, with that spelling, you search under Google News, and then you search under Google, and then click on More and search under Blogs.
Under More.
And this is a new functionality they've added to Google under the More. They have blog books, Frugal, Groups, Patents, even More. But it's the first listing under More. So you search Google News, you search Google More blogs, and you see a very real difference.
How many of those bloggers will hold on to this story the way they did it, say, for the Wichita Massacre? How many?
I think, I don't know. I don't have any standard to judge it by.
Yeah. But what really matters is the information that it would do. Are we going to keep? Hopefully, information will continue to trickle out, and that's one good thing about them.
No, Knoxville's locking us down, Dietrich.
What's going on here is people. There seems to be a consensus among all sites that A, this is being covered up, and B, it's probably being covered up because it's black on white instead of white on black.
I've seen that in the comment section of every blog that covers this. Even
now, that's pretty basic. They consider that a Satori or something. Come on.
Well, you have there need to go one more step in saying, you're right, it's being covered up. Who's covering it up and why?
And why?
That's where we supply. And that's where we must focus because the other ones are already to where we were.
Yeah, and you're right. It's a rhetorical. Everyone knows that. It's kind of like a,
Jerry
hey,
Taylor ain't
going to
tell them.
Yeah.
David Horowitz ain't going to tell them.
Yeah.
And we will tell them. It's our job to tell them. And they know that we're right. And see, we that's why VNN is free speech, because ultimately we can be. They have to control the media because they're lying. We don't have to control the media that we do control by owning.
But it's
because we are right. If you're lying, you have to cover
the whole
up. You're telling
system,
the truth,
though.
You just argue it.
And it's on every institutional level, government, university, media. It's the whole throw off of Boasian reasoning, which is false. And that's
why aren't
big,
the for-profit media reporting this most remarkable of stories? When the blog interest alone shows that it's huge, huge.
Why aren't the bloggers coming to VNN more? Maybe they will.
And
we have to
that.
They are. We've provide had, more media. Had, we can make our own media if we go to Knoxville and do it right.
Hell, we yeah.
And compare that with the ink spilled on the Duke rape hoax. The non-issue. It's a complete non-issue. And every time a Nifong took a dump, the news was there, you know, analyzing it and saying, you know, what does this mean about the Duke rape certainty?
Yeah.
You know, I mean... Yeah.
Means a nigger hoe be lying with lots of good stories.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
Well, and it wasn't even that good. I mean, everyone knew it was bullshit within a few days at most.
They really did. They really did know
that's
it was bullshit
because
the second
secret.
Woman said it.
So you look at how they pounded
that. But it was enough
that.
For North Carolina to churn it out, huh, the media. It's probably the same AP that's ignoring Shannon's murder.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, look how much ink that they spilled over that, and it ended up being nothing, and everyone pretty much knew it was nothing, and yet they continued on in this exercise.
Not
what are
nothing.
They doing?
It's the ruination of those good three guys' lives, essentially, at least for the next 10 years or so.
Yeah. Hey, I posted something on my blog about the sports director at Duke over there said that whole episode was proof of an anti-sports bias by the faculty.
Yeah. How's that for ridiculous?
Oh boy. But yeah. Ridiculous, but
always we must interpret things some other way than blaming blacks.
I mean, we are getting into this is Pravda level suppression of reality in the
sure
in the media. This is like a glitch in the matrix. I mean, I'm glad people are seeing that though. I mean, this is like a couple weeks ago the BBC deleting the World Trade Center 7 scandal that they had reported. World Trade Center 7 collapsed 30 minutes before it did. and they predicted it miraculously, and then that footage, they said they lost it, and then someone else happened to have a tape of it, so they put it on YouTube, and then YouTube starts disappearing, and Google starts disappearing. It really is. It's like this Shannon Christian thing. It's a glitch in the matrix where we're all of reality, you know, and people look at each other and going, did you see that? You know, did you notice that? What just happened? What was that? Why are they hiding this stuff? You know, and that's what we need to be hammering on. You're right. I mean, who is this? Who profits from this?
They need to have the
who profits from us not knowing about
observations.
That Channing Christian.
You observe this stuff's being covered up. Well, don't stop there. Who's covering it up and why? I mean, it is being covered up. There's no other way to put it. But we can't stop there and be satisfied and lament that they're, you know, the Christian level of primeval soup, you know, reality where the devil just does evil things and we poor humans have to tolerate it. No, it's a choice we make to allow the Jews to mix these violent, savage niggers in among us.
Yeah, we're being consumed. We're being eaten, and it's like they've shot our leg up with Novocaine. You know, we can't feel it, and we're being, our feet are being gnawed on, and we look down, and we're like, wait a minute, what's going on there? You know, I mean, it's like they really are. They're trying to keep us from perceiving. You know, like the body politic, they're trying to numb enough of the body politic to keep it from really sensing, but because the media really is our sense organs for the things that happen right outside of our immediate area. And
they're not having much trouble accomplishing their tasks so far.
Well, they're not, because we don't know what we don't know. We what they tell us, how do I know what happens in Knoxville? How do I know what happens or didn't happen in Duke? I rely on these media Jews to tell me. God help us.
And now with these blogs, you can get something a little different.
That's
a lot of people,
thing.
This is like their first post on their new blog. There's something from Corpus Christi under news, something like that. I see that is talking about this and how it's not covered. But they all get stuck at that level of it's not reported because the races are reversed from what you see on primetime fiction. Fictional dramas, whether detective stuff or movies or whatever.
Be like, hey, is that... yeah, that's probably because blacks own the media, right? That's why they're not talking about the black on
white
crime.
Yeah, must be all those Negro producers. Those Negro executives at NBC and CBS and ABC, ESPN.
Did you talk about the Chevy Chase thing? They have Chevy Chase in an episode of Law and Order playing a Mel Gibson-type character. And he jumps out and starts talking about sugar tits to the cop, and he says, "You're a Jew, aren't you?" And the female cop. Only the clincher here is, I guess he just murdered somebody and tossed her in the bay or something.
God.
And they get him for that.
They're not even trying anymore.
I mean, as big as Mel is, everybody knows that they're talking about Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
It's
really funny.
Nice.
I mean, I'm new with this whole anti-Semitism thing. Didn't they used to be more elegant than that, or have they always been that beat you over the head with a blunt object? I mean, it just doesn't seem like they're trying anymore. It just seems like they're just laying it out there. You know, hey, we hate this guy because he said bad things about Jews.
And Chevy Chase is like 63 years old. At some point, I saw a clip of it. He says, "Oh, at my age or something." Well, Mel Gibson's only what, 51 or something? 50, 49, 50 something?
Yeah.
I think 50 is. So they got Chase playing him. And
hey, you want to hear a funny line about Chevy Chase?
Okay.
Uttered by Johnny Carson, he said, "Chevy Chase couldn't ad-lib a fart after a bean dinner."
Da-dum.
Completely irrelevant.
I didn't know he didn't like. I didn't know Carson didn't like Chevy Chase.
Well, I don't know if he didn't like him or not. That's just what he said.
Well, doesn't sound exactly pleasant. I mean, from one comedian to
another.
Well, it's
one comedian commenting on another, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean. Just saying. I mean, usually they have some kind of, don't they have some kind of professional courtesy or something? I don't know.
Well, I don't know where he said it. I mean, I don't know if he said it on the Tonight Show, but he might have said it in private. But
I always liked Carson.
It's pretty funny. He was
the last good one.
The ones they have now.
Yeah, he was the last good one. These other guys are chodes.
He had some degree of taste, whereas the rest of them are just.
Do you remember that one clip where Johnny's the guy comes on? He used to play some Indian on American TV. I can't remember the name of the show. It's a famous clip, and so he has him demonstrating. Johnny does how to throw the tomahawk. How he does it on the TV show because he plays an Indian, right? And the guy throws it and he hits right to the penis. And so Johnny says, "I didn't know you were Jewish." And our guys on the forum looked that up, and the guy is a Jew. You wouldn't have ever thought it. And he's quite a Zionistic one, too. He led some California group for some years. Ed something it is. people listening will know. You know, it was a long time ago, but it was a major TV show in the early 60s. And the guy was a Jew playing an Indian. So Johnny knew that. They see, that was the inside joke. See, Johnny knew that. You know, they know all this stuff in Hollywood.
Yeah, he was from the Midwest, too, Johnny Carson. So he had a role.
Yeah, he was from Iowa. He was born in Iowa.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. He was the last good one on the late night stuff. Well, Chain, you made it here to the end, buddy. You want to stay on for 5 more minutes and close out with us?
All right, 5 minutes.
All right, 5 minutes. Okay.
Well, it's late. No.
Yeah,
I've
man,
had
it's
to
like,
find out of
it. It's early now.
I hope the listeners...
Craig, I had a question about Newsom and Christian. Did you read, what was it, the grand jury indictment?
I didn't read it all. I think it was some sort of, you know, I'm not a lawyer, obviously, but some sort of, I guess, a permit from the grand jury to get a search warrant, I think that document was. But, yeah, the PDF's on there. Yeah, what about it?
Yeah. Oh, no, I was wondering if that gave the details of the crime.
It tells about the 5 garbage bags, parts, and the household cleaner. But
I need to know. We need to get some more of the horrible details of this. I'm sure of that. We can
and they're,
get them.
They're I'm telling you, they're suppressing this. I'm the not even sure
Jews
what the
would
source
be getting
is.
This stuff. Jews would be at the police. You know, they would. We need the police report. Basically, is what we need. They make that stuff.
They will actually go so far as to disparage us for wanting to find out those kind of details.
That's fine.
That
they hate
some
us
sort of. You know,
you mean the police
nasty
themselves
thing about
will,
our personality.
Right?
Yeah. What's that?
The police Self themselves.
Will. Yeah.
Don't want to release it, or.
Well, who knows? It's probably a combination of prosecutors and police and just the general authorities. And one of those news girls down there for the TV station, she said these things are just too nasty for people to handle. You know?
Yeah.
People don't want to hear about that stuff.
Oh yeah, but what about the yard long I read about the James? Or the dragging in Jasper, Texas, the gory details about what he must have been thinking 100 feet into his dragging, 120 feet into his dragging, and 30 seconds into the heart gains a BPM of, oh my God.
They didn't tell you that one of the draggers of James Byrd had been raped by niggers in prison. That little fact never made its way out. So they lie about everything, and then they lie about lying, which is meta-lying.
And another thing,
it's like a special
in the Rodney King case,
lying
those,
Jews take.
Those cops who pounded on Rodney King, you know, he was high on angel dust anyway, and doing 100 miles an hour or something, but so it's hard to subdue. But anyway, they were prosecuted in both state and federal courts. And with this carjacking thing with these 4 niggers that killed Shannon and Chris, if I remember correctly, the carjacking laws were specifically changed so that they could include the death penalty, because so often, you know, boons were taken off with a, you know, a little white baby in the back.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Car
they dropped those.
Yeah. So now imagine that it's an automaticity carjacking is the federal law, I do believe. I don't think I'm wrong in that. But
well, they dropped the carjacking.
And if that's the case. You're right. And ostensibly they say, it's going to make it easier, and this way there won't be any. You know, conflict or some, you know, just give some specious.
I know. I'm not a lawyer, but I looked at that and I was pretty suspicious about that. I mean, God, you know, if this, it's ridiculous. But yeah, let's take a quick.
The guy in Knoxville in eastern Tennessee, his name is James Russ Dedrick, D-E-D-R-I-C-K.
Okay.
And I couldn't find a picture of him. I don't know if he's white or.
He sounds black.
Negro.
Dedrick.
Well, Dedrick could be, you know, but they don't show the picture. But at the very least, he's just an elite working for a jog, because these people do not represent white people's interest in any way whatsoever.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have 5 more minutes. I'm going to take a quick break here, and we are on the Friday edition of Free Talk Live. This is Dietrich as opposed to Dedrick, and we will be right back.
Yeah, hello. My name's Suitcase Jefferson. The Jew got it in for the Negro, too, so that's why I listen to VNN.com. I mean, I would if I had a computer.